Good afternoon, folks. I'm Anthony McCarthy. Welcome to Today with Dr. K. As you can tell, I am not Dr. K. I'm Anthony McCarthy sitting in for Dr. K. She's out sick today. She'll be back on Monday. We're wishing her all our positive energy and well wishes so she can get back in her seat as soon as possible. Folks, later in this hour, we're going to talk about Brett Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford, what happened yesterday and what just happened in Washington. The vote on the Senate, full Senate vote, has been postponed for a week. As the Senate further investigates allegations of sexual misconduct by Brett Kavanaugh, the president's nominee for the Supreme Court. Right now, we're talking about public schools and safety. The FBI announced this week that Baltimore tops the list of cities of the most violent cities in America. And that was heartbreaking. Many of you know I have served as a spokesperson for three of the last four mayors of the city of Baltimore. I have sat in the rooms where big-time decisions are made about policy, about crime reduction. And I tell you, every time I hear these statistics come out, and I realize that we are not making as much headway as I'd like for us to make, my heart breaks. And I know that you want to hold people accountable. And when we find out that in an elementary school students, children, brought handguns to school, one discharged in the bathroom. Luckily, no one was hurt, but someone could have been killed. We have a culture of violence that we have to get a handle on. ASAP. I'm willing to be part of that conversation, and I hope you are as well. I tell you, we're blessed to have with us Sergeant Clyde Boatwright. He is the head of the Baltimore City School Police, FOP, strong leader. He's also vice president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police. Clyde, I really appreciate you staying with me.
Thank you.
We have a bunch of callers on the phone, and I want to let them get into this conversation. We're asking questions about parental responsibility. We're asking how kids get guns and bring them to school. What kind of technology can we use to make schools safer? Should our school police be armed? All those are very important questions in this conversation. Monica, you've been holding for a while. I appreciate your patience. Calling from Baltimore, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
I am currently a school counselor working for Baltimore City Schools.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
And it's just so interesting to me how individuals that do not work in the schools are always talking about the damage that metal detectors and wands would place on students, their psyche as they come into the building. But we don't understand that these young people are growing up in a time where school shootings are a normalcy.
Ugh.
And so, unfortunately, the sight of the metal detectors would probably be a relief for most students. You cannot find a public building in our city that does not have an armed guard as well as metal detectors. You go pay your water bill, metal detector, armed guard.
Yep.
You go to court, metal detector, armed guard. You go to the library, metal detectors, armed guard. So why do we think that having this in the schoolhouse is such a bad thing?
Mm.
We need our school police. I've always been a proponent of school police. I worked for Baltimore City for 18 years, and the school police that work for Baltimore City Schools, they do a phenomenal job in working with students. They do a phenomenal job. The problem with the guns, in the years that I've worked, there's only been one incident with a gun in the school where the police discharged his weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
I don't recall an incident where our officers have discharged in a school, no. We've had police involved shootings, but not at a school.
Correct. Exactly. So there's no danger. There's no issues. They are there to protect. They are there to do their job. And they do a tremendous job being school officers.
Mm.
They do a tremendous job in working with young people and giving them opportunity to correct their behaviors before the problems escalate. I've seen it. And I've worked at some of the roughest, toughest schools in the district.
So, Monica, why do you believe that there are, I told you about the text I got where my friend Chris just read me the riot act about his children going through metal detectors every day, and that's not the message he wants to send children. Why do you think people think that their children will be permanently scarred by going through metal detectors?
Right. I think it's because I think people, sometimes we look through our own lenses.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
And we look at it as when we were in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up in Baltimore City, and it was just kind of weird. I remember metal detectors start coming along, but I also remember feeling safe.
Mm.
You know, I was in high school from 84 to 88, very high violence, high teenage pregnancy rate, us killing us, equal genocide.
Mm.
So having metal detectors, having school police in the schools that were there to protect you, made me feel safe to go to school or to go to a school event.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not anything to be afraid of. I think when people say that, they're just not being realistic. I think they need to take off their rose-colored glasses and say this. Would you rather the metal detector make an alarm to alarm that someone is coming into the building and receive a phone call that the building had to be locked down because of that? Or would you prefer to receive a phone call saying that your child has been murdered because there was no defense mechanism in place?
Monica, thank you so much for your call, and thanks for that perspective. 410-319.
I would like to piggyback on something.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Monica said, times have changed. In Baltimore, we have invested in this new technology called ShotSpotter.
Yes.
This thing goes off. On police officers for Baltimore City, they get a cell phone alert with a location whenever a gun is discharged.
Mm-hmm.
Accompanying that cell phone alert is a citywide broadcast of the location, exact location, where the discharging is, where the gun discharged from. Imagine being a school-based police officer. And we just had this the other day. There was a homicide on the corner of Presbury and Monroe.
Mm.
A block away from that, is if you're familiar with that area, there's Monroe Street, there's Appleton Street, then there's Payson Street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right there in the 1600 block of Payson Street is school number 29, wow. Matthew Henson Elementary. The ShotSpotter technology went off for 9 rounds discharged. If a school-based police officer was in that building, he would have to then go from wherever he is in the building to whatever designated location where his gun is stored, arm himself, all while trying to put the building on lockdown.
That is foolishness. That is absolute foolishness.
That suspect does not run into that school.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm.
But that's
think about that, folks. Think about that scenario Clyde Boatwright just gave us. A shooting takes place near a school. The information is dispatched. That officer has to go to where he houses his gun, get that gun. Meanwhile, whoever discharged that weapon in that neighborhood close to that school could, in fact, then be in that school.
And insert himself. And we have had it happen. I mean,
and take kids hostage, take a classroom hostage. It could be a horrible, horrible situation. I like what Monica said. It's time for us to take our rose-colored glasses off because we can't, you know what? And I know I sound like I'm talking on both sides of my mouth. We can't. This can't be the normal. We can't allow this to be, well, it's just the way it is. What we have to do is put things in place which draws attention to the fact that we must have measures in place to keep our schools safe. Oh, we have a bunch of callers. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop talking. And let's go to Teresa. Teresa is calling from Baltimore. She's a new caller. Appreciate you calling. Welcome to the program.
Hello, hi.
Hey, Teresa.
I'm calling because I can say God is good.
Woo.
My granddaughter goes to that school.
Isn't that something?
And my granddaughter was sick that day, and it was for half a day, so my daughter did not allow her to go or let her go since she wasn't feeling good. I saw whatever it was on the news. I didn't pay attention to the school, mm-hmm, until my daughter called and said, Ma, Don't you know that they had two little boys in the bathroom were shooting guns and the school was on lockdown? She said, I know I'm glad that I know God is good because I would have had a nervous breakdown.
Trying to get to that school. That's right.
Yes.
And the thing is, I've been to that school before. I even know somebody that worked there. And the issue was, they saying that the principal do not know how to handle those children from that type of community. So he doesn't have any type of steadfastness in trying to work with these kids with these issues coming from these type of locations.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Teresa, I am so happy and thanking God that your granddaughter is safe. And I'm going to ask you to hold on. Our producer needs to get some information from you. So we're going to put you on hold. Let's go to the next caller, Diane. Diane is a new caller. Let's go to William calling from Prince George's County. William, I appreciate your patience. You've been holding for a while. Welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. I have a comment about basically school in general and how it's basically set up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that, when the parents bring their school around for people to try to understand what they really should have, it should be a core value set up of what they be setting up as the beliefs of what the school is going to work like.
Uh-huh.
And how it should go. And I believe that all parents who come there to go ahead and send their child to that school, you fill out a contract.
You sign on the dotted line. I agree with
you. And the contract form will be, if your child is, caught in any part of, dismissal, fighting, weapons, or bullying on the influence or threatening, then that person is going to be dismissed from the school. You only get it one time. But before the school year begins, you always tell them, you and your parent will come down and get a one-time understanding lesson on what our class values are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't feel those class values that we're trying to teach for that one year or in this whole school, then you don't have your child go to that school.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as that. If they have a difficulty mentally and they're having a problem with at home where the child is not getting what he needs to get, then that needs to be turned over to maybe, some kind of service where they can evaluate the child to see whether he is material for the school, if he can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your home environment is not going to help you to get through school and you're not doing well and you want to come from home every day and be mad and angry and you want to take it out on other kids with bullying or carrying a pistol or you know where a pistol can be found, that's some crap. That parent ought to go ahead and, say, my child can't make it here. Let's put him on that special school bus that goes out here to another certain
to wherever. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Difficulties, Duckworth or something like that, where they can go ahead and, have that special training where they need to get what they want to do. Because all it is children want to have somebody learn them what they need to do and how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can't get that there and they're scared or they're intimidated or the parent acting like as if, I'm grown, I can, have my child go here and just put him out of my hair for, 8 hours a day?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. And he come back home and find the same stuff. No food, maybe. Parents hollering at him, maybe. Bullying at his own apartment house or wherever they may live.
Mm-hmm.
No. So I believe that, you give them a one-time contract, and it's only one mistake you make. And if you make any difference to a child is if you get dismissal on, fighting weapons or, a gang bullying kind of a thing or threatening, then, you don't need to be in that school. And the parent who sent you there ought to know that because they'll sign it and understand, hey, you only got one chance, and if you mess it up, I'm going to have to do what I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be the school's responsibility. But if the school wants to find out, and if they want to send that person to a personal psychiatrist to evaluate that child with the mother and see whatever it is, the father, and see whether they're, mentally stable enough to go under the rules of what the contract says, that child should fit in. But if he don't fit in, then what are you going to do? Still let him have an opportunity?
William,
if the report goes out, you just go ahead and call the school police, let them fill it out, and if they want to take it to court, they can. By that time, the parents going to either be found out to either be what? Negligent in some form training that child.
Mm. William, I think you're on point. I think the clear articulation of those kind of values are so important. And when a parent and a family knows what the expectations are going into a school, this is what the expectations are. and you sign on that dotted line, when there is a violation, then you know there is a consequence. I love this idea. I love it. Paul's calling from East Baltimore. Paul, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mr. McCaffrey?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, I've been everywhere because everybody know me. I referee a little bit. So I've been in D.C. public schools, Anne Arundel County, PG, and all of them have police. And the word police is just what it is. How you going to have a police without no gun? That just don't make sense. That's like having a sheriff and a bunch of robbers and stuff like that, and they don't have a gun. Mm. I mean, the only deterrent that you have is the police. And fortunate enough, our school police have been A1 in the things they did, except for a couple of people that let get under their skin.
Yep, and let their emotions get away from them.
Mm-hmm. The metal detectors is unnecessary in this time and day with the people blowing people up, people coming in. They upset. We just had something down at the Rite Aid plant. At a Rite Aid plant where a person just went down there and shot some people and then killed, they took their own life. How can the police, the school police, do their job if, like you say, we don't equip them and trust them because they've been the most trustworthy? How about the Baltimore City Police? The school police have been the most trustworthy police in town, including the sheriff. But it's impossible for the police not to be able to engage. And the ones they keep on talking about is affecting them. Everywhere they go, they got metal detectors.
Wow.
And everywhere, just about everywhere you go, like the lady before me said, everywhere you go, it's a metal detector.
It sure does.
You tell me I'm going to courtroom, I'm going to post office and stuff like that, and those metal detectors are there. But my kids going into school with access to guns illegally on the street, kids finding guns and stuff like that, carelessness with guns around the house, that we don't need to have those precautions in school, I kid you not. Mr. Boatwright, I know your Cofield, a good friend of mine, but these kids got to start going back to gym. They got to start participating. We got to start doing like the School of Arts. They like music. They rap. They do those things like that. We got to keep them occupied on other things besides having kids. And if you're 15 years old and you're a kid and you still learning and grandma not in the house no more, how are you going to teach your kid what to do?
How can you teach? How can you at 15 teach a kid? You're a kid yourself. How are you? Paul, I appreciate it. Paul was on point. You know, if you go into the Dollar Tree, you're going through a metal detector. You go to a TJ Maxx, you're going through a metal detector. I want my child to be protected, and I want every deterrent possible that gives the police, teachers, administrators, and those children an opportunity to be safe. I want that on their side. 410-319-8888. Folks, I'm going to make one of those guest host decisions. We're going to forego the Brett Kavanaugh conversation because all the phone lines are filling up. People want to talk about public safety and our schools, and I want you to be able to share what you're thinking. You know, this week, two elementary school students bought handguns to school. One of the handguns discharged in the bathroom. No one was hurt. Everybody was safe. But it could have, thank God, it could have been another situation. Clyde Boatwright is with me. Sergeant Clyde Boatwright is with me. Been with me the entire show, taking your calls. He is the head of the Baltimore City Public Schools Fraternal Order Police. He's also a state officer, vice president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police. And we're taking your calls at 410-319-8888. Diane is on the line. Diane, welcome to the program.
Going, Anthony.
Hey, good to hear your voice.
It's yours too, but you all might not agree with me.
That's all right.
That's great. I know, because I'm a big girl. I work in Baltimore County Public Schools. We have police officers, but they do not carry their guns. They do not bring their guns in the building unless it's necessary. If they do bring it in, there is a lockbox that they keep it in. I keep hearing Baltimore City school police keep saying that all the jurisdictions police officers carry guns in the school. They do not. They don't. I worked in elementary schools. They do not bring guns in there. If they do, it's in a lockbox, and it's not nowhere where the children can see it, you know. Mm. And that's the only issue I have. I don't like, metal detectors? I don't like them in schools for the children's sake. People say, it lets you know. But children know how to bring things in without being detective. Anytime, I mean, criminals know how to do that. So we know that. Our children are very smart, but we don't give them credit for their smartness. But what we need to do is educate the parents how serious things are that their children, and like the last caller said, not only do the children, see, we always focus on the children. We need to focus on the family. If the children is having problems, then 100%, you can say that to Sergeant Borat. That's most of the time it's the family situation. So we need to work with the parents and the children at the time. I always hear people say work with the children, but they got to go back home to that environment. Mm-hmm. Whatever you pour into them, they're going to lose it once they leave that door and they go to their door of their home, whatever situation it might be, if it's a shelter, whatever. But we need to focus on the family together. If we do that, I think we will get our families back. But if we continue to do the way we're doing, we are not going to get our family back. We're going to continue to have the bloods in the streets and everything. I'm serious, because we're not focusing on the family. What is wrong with the family? What is wrong with that child? Maybe that child is homeless, not living with their parents. We got a group of teenagers, and I told this at the Southeast Police Station. I found out that they're homeless. They're sleeping in cars, but they're around selling drugs. They don't have a home, so we need to work on that. And why isn't social service following and finding out what's going on to place these children and these young teenagers that don't have, so they won't do the crime? It takes all of us.
It does. Diane, you are 100% right. We need to take a very quick break, folks. I want to tell Russell, Glord, Lionel, Michelle, all of you, hold on. We're going to come back and give you your opportunity to share your thoughts on this very critical issue. Our students, our teachers, our police officers in our public schools need to be safe. How can we make that happen? Clyde Boatwright is with me, Sergeant Clyde Boatwright, leader in our Baltimore City Public Schools FOP. We want to take your calls. Let's take a very quick break, and we'll be right back to continue the conversation. You're listening to Today with Dr. K. I'm Anthony McCarthy. We'll be right back. Good afternoon, folks. I'm Anthony McCarthy. This is Today with Dr. K. Dr. K's not feeling well. She's under the weather, and I'm here at the microphone today. We've been having a very interesting conversation about our public schools and safety, guns and violence in the school system. How can we create a safe learning environment for our kids? What can we do about guns in our community? What can be the standard for behavior? Should we hold parents responsible if one of their children, God forbid, brings a gun to school? I want to hear what you think about all of these issues. Our good friend Sergeant Clyde Boatwright has been with us the entire show, sticking with us as we've been listening to our callers, sharing their thoughts on guns, violence, metal detectors, all of the issues that are important to today's public education. 410-319-8888. Clyde, I'm going to get some of these callers in. Sure. We have a bunch of callers. Let's go to Lionel. He's a new caller calling from East Baltimore. Welcome to the program, Lionel.
Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate you calling.
I appreciate you taking my call.
You're on the air.
Oh, I think it is a shame to have to have metal detectives and police in our school. But what I actually think is, what is the reason? I think it's the same reason that's on the streets when the police and the mentality in our communities. I think ultimately it is our fault because they are there for a reason. And what would happen to our communities and our schools if they were not present?
Mm-hmm.
They are present because they need to be present. If they didn't need to be present, if they are present, then we have a job to do in our communities because it is a shame. But it is a shame because we have allowed the media to take over our communities. When our kids get home from school, they'll watch and shoot them up, bang, bang. I've even been in doctor's office and see where 3, 4, and 5-year-olds got the mama's phone so mama don't have to deal with them with different gangs with this one popping this one and this one popping that one. It is ultimately our responsibilities in our community. And for those that are protesting that we should have this in school, then what they need to do and what we need to do is to work in our communities to have a community. I remember the time when it took a village to raise a child. Where is our village? Our village is gone, and that's why this is happening. We let the media come in. They come home from school instead of having family time and homework time, shoot them up, bang, bang, on the TV. I remember a time when I was raising my son, and I was thinking I was raising him right, but I wasn't attentive to the earphones in his ears. And while I'm telling him the right things, he got something pumping in his ear telling him, forget daddy, forget what they say, they don't know. And I think that that should highlight our responsibility and how much we need to do in our community to actually protest in our school. Get our communities back.
Lionel, I think you are on point. You are definitely on point. We have an obligation. And these children are ours for a lifetime. But really, our responsibility rests from that period that they come into our lives to that moment when they graduate from high school and they're ready to go out into the world and start their own life. I don't allow my nieces and nephews know that Uncle Anthony does not buy them violent video games. He has never bought them play guns and would not buy them play guns. I buy them books. I buy them clothes. I buy them food. I take care of them. But no, they're not. The violence will not be perpetuated through any action of Uncle Anthony McCarthy. 410-319-8888. Glord, I think, West Baltimore, welcome to the program.
Yes, Glord. Yes. Hello to the Beau Wright and and yourself, McCarthy.
Thank you, sir.
I have several solutions. And I know y'all remember the riot at Madaman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was there.
Okay, you was there. Good. I'm a community person, a long time. I had called Douglas or the Board of Education, letting them know, because when you know people in the community, you know something get ready to come down the pike. So I had called them and said, look, you need to call those school teachers over at Douglas, because I graduated from Douglas. They need to come out to Madaman, you know, where the hub is, and see their students, and the students see them, they would be reluctant to cause a problem.
Mm.
And the problem, and the solution to the to correct the problem, if they stop busing these kids and have schools within their community, you would see a big difference. And the reason why I'm saying that, too, because me riding the MTA, I had an experience where the kids was acted up big time, and they wouldn't respect the elderly to sit in certain seats. And I said something to them. And then I asked them, I said, well, what school do you go to? And they laughed. They wouldn't even tell me. They wouldn't even tell me because they wouldn't. I said, oh, you don't appreciate your school that you go to. And that's one of the problems, because they get on these school buses, they act up in the subway. So they have cameras in the school, in the classrooms, and on these buses where their parents can actually get those footage and see if their kids acting up. Once the teacher said, oh, they acting up, and they can deal with those kids when they get home. But I'm sorry to hear about those two little kids at 10 years old that brought those guns. And it's unfortunate because I was born in Sandtown, Winchester, and I know when I was young, they probably felt threatened. Kids bring knives. They bring anything that they can come to school to show people that they are just as bad, or they're protecting themselves. And so, you know, they walk around with their pants down.
That's believe right. it or not, I know parents say, oh, my kid ain't going to be walking around with his pants down. So what they do is the kids will pull their pants up. Soon they get away from the parents and get out there with their homies, their pants go back down, But there's so much space in these kids, man, that peer pressure. But until we can correct the problems, you know, with all that peer pressure, you know, we're not going to see a difference. But again, lastly, if you can stop busing these kids and let them be within the community, we'll see a big difference.
Glord, thank you for your perspective.
Mr. Glord, I didn't want to mess up your name like I hear it's messed up on another show, but I wanted to get that right. But he was absolutely correct. Back in 2015, on that day, April 27th, there was a plan. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go too far off topic. I'm going to end it real quick. There was a plan, and administrators and staff members were going to be at Montgomery. But when the threats came out and this was going to be at a bigger scale, I think the decision, well, I know for a fact the decision was made to not expose those staff members to the potential violence that was discussed down in the think tank. So the plan does usually work where staff members follow with our officers to the different bus hubs. So, you know, the school system does do a good job with that.
410-319-8888 if you want to join our conversation. We've been having a great conversation about public safety, schools, how our children can be safe, what we need to do as a community to ensure that our teachers and students and administrators and police officers in our schools are safe. What role do we play? Russell is calling from Baltimore. Russell, I appreciate your patience. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Anthony.
How hey there, you? Sir.
And Clyde Boatwright, how are you?
Good afternoon, sir.
All right. So this is attorney Russell Neverdine.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, my man.
One of the best attorneys in the city of Baltimore.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So I've heard some of the comments that have come in, and I wanted to address things because I think I bring a different perspective, having represented some of our juvenile offenders, and just kind of giving people, I think, and having my last youngest child who's in a Baltimore City public school. So the first thing was the mindset or the message that you send to our children when they're metal detectors. I think from a clinical standpoint, the message is already there. We see it advertised on a regular basis. It's in the news. Mm. It's already something that seed has already been planted, that there is the potentiality of violence in the school. My philosophy is I'd rather our schools and our school police be equipped with the necessary tools to address a given emergency situation. It's better to have and not need than to need and not have. And as the one caller said before, I don't want to get that call to say that my child was hit by random gunfire by a child that came into the school. I do believe in responsible gun ownership, but I do also believe that we as constituents need to go to our elected and tell them, stop taking the dollars that are coming from the big gun companies, and we need to have some mechanical restraints or monitoring systems that are already in place. I'm a former military police officer. I know just following the military trends, there are mechanisms that have almost like GPS locators and devices that make sure that they're identified to a specific person. You can track the movement of that. So if the NRA or our gun manufacturers are going to put these firearms into the hands of stores, then we need to have a mechanism that can monitor and trace that. That gun responsibility comes into play where, and let's be clear, we've got an open-air drug market where a lot of these guns that are not reported stolen are from our counterparts in other jurisdictions such as Pennsylvania, West Virginia. They're coming in buying this heroin, and they're trading these guns off. So you've got a constant influx of guns that are coming in, and so we've got to ask our local law enforcement, look, we know you want to get the bad guys that are selling, but you can't make a dent until you get the people that are bringing these guns in for the exchange of some of these narcotics that are being sold. And then lastly, we have to empower our parents. You know, some of the laws that changed some years ago with this the inability of parents to effectively discipline their children, we've got to be empowered to discipline and handle and address our children from a cultural standpoint where you're not going to tell me you can't do this, you can't do that to me, or I'm calling the police. Mm. Let's be real. We have to hold our children accountable, or the inverse of that is you're going to have parents be held accountable. your child is acting out, they're doing certain things, they're the ones that are bullying, they're the ones that are engaged in this violent behavior. If you make it inconvenient for them more than enough for them to have to lose time from work and come into that school, they're going to go home and they're going to deal with that particular child. And we have to just be very real and recognize it. We know who our children are. And we have to be very real with recognizing who our children are and not pass the buck. But we as parents and as adults hold them equally accountable.
Russell Neverdon, I think that you are on point.
Yeah.
On point.
That's a grand slam, man.
That is, you covered all the bases. And I think ultimately we have to accept responsibility on every level. That's what we do as parents, as citizens. We have to accept responsibility. Our children can't accept responsibility unless we teach them how to do it. And I know you're a great dad, and I appreciate you listening and calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. 410-319-8888. That's the number. Let's see who people been holding for a long time to jump in to this conversation. Linda, calling from Gwin Oak. Linda, appreciate you calling. Welcome to the program.
Hi, praise the Lord. Good afternoon.
Great to have you on board.
Good afternoon.
You know, to everyone, and I just want to say, my cry every day is that people will open up the door and let God back in and shut the door on the devil.
Amen.
And that's in the home, in the schools. Because I'm telling you, a lot of parents have turned their children over to technology.
Mm-hmm.
They're on these smartphones, and they're into some of everything, and parents are not even aware of some of the things that their children are involved in. Snatch your children out of the hands of the enemy. Tell them and teach them about God, about and the value of life, and what is right is right, and what is wrong is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get out. Come back together. Let's all go back to the altar and acknowledge that God is, and it's His way or no way. Lives are being destroyed that should be living. The values that you have on the inside, every soul has a purpose and God has a plan.
Linda, thank you for your call. Appreciate your call. Dwayne is on the line from Baltimore. Dwayne, welcome to the program.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know, I think the two previous callers, it all. I don't think that there's much more to say after what they've said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, because my comment was going to be, you know, the situation that we find, that we've identified that our children are in schools, okay, you know, is something, you know, and as you just said, that we're responsible for.
Yep.
It's a reflection of us. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And you know, it doesn't matter that your kids are good if 100 other kids are bad or and not doing what they're supposed to do, and they're raising hell and tearing up the kids, you know, the school, you know, and doing things like what these kids have done. It's still a reflection on all of us,
mm-hmm.
And they are just the circumstances our kids are in the schools that they're in the conditions that the schools are in the low standards of education that I keep hearing over and over are being perpetuated, kids just being pushed through anyway. It's a reflection of our standards.
Yes.
You are on it.
It may not be individual standards, but it's us as a group. It's a reflection of our standards.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you look at the vast swath of challenges, are we saying that we're not intelligent enough, we're not cunning enough, we don't have enough wisdom to defeat these challenges that seem to be plaguing the children in this city for decade after decade?
Mm.
It's a reflection of us. Everybody listening to this call, it's a reflection of us. Whether, like I said, whether it's you specifically or not, it's still a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm. Dwayne, thank you for your call. Thanks for those perspectives. 410-319-8888. Sergeant Boatwright, let me ask you, because the teacher who called earlier made a very good point. She said that as a teacher, she has been concerned about what some of the schools use our school police for. They're not there, she said, to go get kids who are acting out in class and walk them to the principal's office. She said that you all are there for a very different reason.
Yeah.
But they are used to help discipline children now, right?
So in previous years, when we got to the table with some of the advocacy groups, few meetings that the union was present, this topic was brought up, mm-hmm. and there was no pushback from us. We don't want to be hailed the bad guy. Don't call me because little Johnny has his hat on in the hallway.
Yep.
That's not a criminal offense. You know, and I used to, as a school-based officer and as a patrol officer, I used to have a rule, and the agreement that I made with the secretary and the principal of the school, only call me if you would dial 911.
Wow.
If this situation warrants you would dial 911, that's when you call me to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
But getting involved in minor juvenile behavior, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I will commend Dr. Santelisa's and her staff for getting to the bottom of this, and there's now clear delineation of duties when it comes to a school police officer, a school-based officer.
Good. Mm-hmm.
That exists, and I commend them for working towards a solution for that, because ultimately, some of the situations that you've seen our officers involved in that turn bad, actually, they shouldn't even have been contacted for from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So these situations became fruit from the poisonous tree. Because if you had never called a school police officer, they would have never been engaged in that situation.
Michelle's calling from Baltimore. Michelle, I appreciate you holding. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Oh, hi. Oh, that was quick. That was really quick. I had to hang up earlier, but I'm glad I was able to get back.
Thanks.
I wanted to weigh in on, you know, the question of what should be done regarding keeping children and teachers safe in school.
Mm-hmm.
Having worked in the school system for over 20 years, I believe that it's important that we keep everybody safe. I don't believe that school police officers should carry guns in the elementary school. I do like the protocol of keeping the gun locked, because it gives a very negative image to little children. Our children have been exposed to a lot because of, you know, how society has changed. It doesn't mean that we have to change. It's about going back to our basic values. We've lost them, which is why we are where we are. I do agree with the caller who is also a school teacher, who indicated that, you know, it's about us going back to our core values, about focusing on the family. We've got to do that. You know, we've lost it, and it's not just the school's responsibility. It's not just social services' responsibility. It's a whole community effort. There used to be a time when the church, the school, the stores, the retail stores, everybody worked together, and we all had the same values, and we reinforced them. We reiterated them. We had young mothers who had children. We had black men who were out of the homes back then, but we stuck to our core values. We've lost them, but it's time for us to reiterate them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as it relates to secondary schools, I do believe, because of the times that we live in, that there should be metal detectors. Does it perpetuate a negative stigma? It does. However, it is very real on the secondary level, the number of guns that come into the school. Yes, children carry guns, young men, young girls, they carry guns and knives, and, you know, like, and I don't mean just fake knives. I've seen machetes, fake knives. Since 1994, children come in the building with these guns. Not so much when I started teaching, not so much to hurt someone in school, but because of safety in the neighborhood. So, yes, we do need metal detectors. We've had them for a long time. The question is, why aren't we using them? Because it's costly. We depleted the funds of the school system. We deplete the funds of the city. You know, all wherever we need the resources to strengthen our communities and our families, we've depleted these funds. And this is where we are. There are metal detectors in most of the secondary schools. Half of them aren't working because it costs to keep them working. And then you only have one at one door. They need to be at more than one.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we depleted the funds of the school police department to the point where there are very few school police officers. Like, we talk about we have real issues, but we don't put money where there's a need to address real issues. So, again, you know, how are we going to fix it? We got to put money where money's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are in control and handle money need to be held accountable for misappropriated funds. And that's on all levels.
Michelle, I've got to get the rest of these callers in. I really appreciate your perspective. Michelle is very clear. You know, and I think it's one of those things when we talk about shared values, I'm not putting other people down. I'm not making judgment calls about other people. But Clyde, I think it's okay for us to say these are the values of our community. You are going to respect each other. You're going to treat people with dignity. You're going to say yes, sir, and no, ma'am. And I mean, I think that we can really be clear about what our values are. And I don't care if Molly has two mommies or Molly has two daddies. That's not the values I'm talking about. I'm talking about the values of treating people with human dignity and respect and demanding that our children learn those values. When you start, it's okay to bully. When it's okay when the teacher corrects your child and you come up there and beat up the teacher, there's a problem.
Now, I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
This has been my experience. When I went to William H. Lamell Middle School,
mm-hmm.
and I always have to go back to that. There was a teacher that I had all 3 years that I was there. His name was Mr. Walter Griffin. I don't even know if he's still in the district or not.
Mm.
But Mr. Griffin, as young men, we were more scared of Mr. Griffin than we were of Officer Jeffries, who
Isn't
was our school-based
something?
Officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to always say, "I'm a Vietnam vet. I'll have a flashback on you." And we were like, "Oh, what's a flashback?" So we were scared of him. And the one thing he used to do, we used to have this wooden hall pass.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come out in the hallway and he would say, "Get up from in front of my door." And people would still chatter back and forth with him. And then he would come out and he would throw the hall pass against the wall. And it would like clank around in the hallway and everybody would take off running. There was no intent to hit anybody, but
mm-hmm.
if he did that today, he would be charged with child abuse.
He would be charged.
He would be charged with child abuse.
And someone would come up there and say, "Stop scaring my child."
Exactly. We've gotten away from our core values.
Yeah.
Mr. Lee Moody at Matthew Henson Elementary used to pop us in the palm of our hands with a ruler. I'm not saying we need to get back to that,
yeah.
but that was the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
That was the 1980s in Baltimore. We didn't have a school-based officer at 29.
Mm.
You know, at Matthew Henson. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we got to get back to where people have respect for adults, and then there would be no need to have contact with the police.
That's right.
Because that was the last person we wanted to deal with school-based officer. We had to deal with Mr. Griffin first, or Mr. Moody, or at Carver, Mr. Wiggins. Mm. So, you know, these are the values that we need to get back to in our society.
I'm with you, Clyde. Mark is calling from East Baltimore. Mark, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey,
very
welcome.
Good conversation. My thoughts are, you know, I just keep going back to when I was a kid and my siblings. And my father was an avid gun owner, avid hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And he stressed firearm education and
yes.
safety.
Yes.
Now, I look at today, the kids today have more interaction with gunplay than we ever did. Now, we had combat. We had, you know, rat patrol. We had, because I'm an older guy, you know,
mm-hmm.
we had those things, riflemen, gun smoke. I mean, and this is a gun culture. You got to face
America. It's a gun culture, yes.
On gunpowder. And I'm wondering if it's time that we start introducing a primer in schools on firearm safety. This mm-hmm. is a firearm. It's not a gun. This is a firearm. It's a weapon. It's designed to do one thing. And teach kids, you know, and even maybe take them to the range. Have them qualify, but teach
yeah.
them what a firearm, it's a tool and not a toy.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think, you know, you're not going to get through to everybody.
Not everyone.
But I think if you get through to the ones who are interested, they will, you know, inspire other ones.
Mark,
know,
unfortunately, we're out of time. I wish we had caught you earlier. We've got to wrap up. Clyde Boatwright, Sergeant Clyde Boatwright, President of the Baltimore City Public Schools FOP and Vice President of the Maryland State FOP. Thanks for spending the 2 hours with me, friend. It's wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
We great conversation. I want to thank all of our callers, many of them still holding on. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm Anthony McCarthy. I've been sitting in today for Dr. K here on Today with Dr. K. You've been listening to Public Radio WEAA, your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, your voice in the community.